Okay, so we're moving into the next tefillah, Mizmor Lasoda. So Hashem has given us this tefillah with it, to be able to say thank you to Him for everything He does for us. And Rabbi Sparrow says that the first thing that strikes us when we read this tefillah is that we recognize that it's a unique privilege to be given the opportunity to thank Him. Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings the Gemara that there are four people that need to be grateful to Hashem: one who crosses the ocean, one who travels the desert, one who is seriously sick and recovered, or one who was in prison and released. And in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they would bring a Karban Todah. Nowadays, due to our Averos, where we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so we have this Tefillah of Mizmor Lasoda. And since it's in place of a Karban, there are Deos, and for many it is the Minug, that one should stand when saying this Tefillah. There are four types of Karbanos that used to be brought. There was a Chatas, an Ola, an Asham, and a Shlamim. The Shlamim was brought when one wanted to share his Simcha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaKarban would get the meat, the Kohen would get his piece of it, his portion, and the rest of it went to the Mizbeach, to Hashem. A Karban Todah is one of those types of Shlamims. But as opposed to a regular Shlamim, which a person was able to eat for 2 days and one night, a Todah only had 1 day and one night to be eaten. A Todah also came with 40 breads. Some of them were matzah, some of them were chametz. And Rashi Schwab explains that the matzah symbolized the Yeshua from a grave danger, while the chametz symbolizes the daily nisim that occur to a person, even though we may not be aware that Hashem is actually doing them for us. So in order for one to finish all this, because as the Torah tells us, one is not allowed to bring a carbon if he knows he cannot finish all of it, which is why we don't say Mizmor Lasoda on Erev Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach, because we lose certain hours on Erev Yom Kippur, we lose the night. Erev Pesach, we lose even more. And therefore, if you're not allowed to, if you can't finish it, you're not allowed to bring the carbon on that day. Therefore, you have to invite a lot of people to help him eat this carbon. And in that way, he's mefarsim, he spreads the nes and chesed of Hashem. And whenever Hashem does a chesed with someone, you're supposed to publicize it. And therefore, we say in the tefillah here, Hariu Hashem kol haaretz. We thank Hashem out loud and spread His name in the whole land. As we say also, L'cha ezbach zevach toda, u'v'shem Hashem ekra. Then I'm going to go shech the karban toda and call out in Hashem's name. And there's actually, there are those that have the minig, or the idea, maybe it's not a minig, but the idea of whenever something happens to them, for example, if their wife has a baby or different great things happen, they actually say nishmas out loud as a thank you to Hashem, in that same idea of publicizing and spreading the good that Hashem has done for the person. So it's interesting. I do it because, yes, it's probably my wife being Sephardi, that's where it came from. But I was at Cohen Bris, and Rabbi Cohen spoke about the exact same concept of nishmas being said every time something good happens to a person. So I think it just maybe has fallen out of Ashkenazic thought process, but it certainly is not foreign.
At that time where you say that loud on Shabbos?
No, like afterwards. Like right after my wife is able to daven again, we say it right then there in the recovery room. You know, it's supposed to be something that's different. The one on Shabbos is thanking in general, but now I'm saying something special, that Hashem, you did something for me. You know, here's nishmas.
Did you stop before Shukkanah?
I believe yes. Eric Sparrow adds one more point. He says, we know it's not easy to admit when we have to be thankful. As we know, kochi ve'otzem yadi. And that's a natural tendency by people. So therefore we say, hu asanu v'lo anachnu. And the word v'lo, we read it with the vav, meaning to him. But in reality, it's written with an aleph, meaning no. And what we're saying is, we are his, and we ourselves are nothing. And we must not discount that need to remind ourselves how thankful we have to be. We have to collectively tell the world, as we said, Hariu Hashem kol haaretz, call out to Hashem, to everyone on earth. Tell the world, tell your family, tell your friends, and don't forget also to tell yourself as well about the good that Hashem has done. Rav Shimon Schwab asks that if this Mizmar is associated with the Karban Todah, why is it not with the rest of Karbanos? It should be within Karbanos, not in Pesukah de Zimra. And he explains that in the time of Mashiach, all private Karbanos will become batel except for the Karban Todah. And for that matter, all tefillos other than a tefillah of praise will become batel also. And therefore, it's for that reason Mizmor Lasoda is in Pesukah de Zimra within the tefillos of praising, because in the future, the personal avodah of Hashem is all going to be done through this hoda'ah. And the Shulchan Aruch rules that one should say this mizmar with a tune, for at that final gula, as we said, all songs will be laid aside. The only song that will be left will be the song of thanksgiving. And the Levush explains that Hashem's kindness will continue forever, as it says, Ki lo'olam chasdo. And therefore, this mizmar will never be abolished because we will always have that need to thank Hashem for His kindness. And Rav Moshe Wolfson adds, he says, Akaras HaTov is a fundamental concept that's not subject to change. And when a Jew expresses his gratitude to Hashem, he opens the divine gates of thanksgiving. And this initiates a flow of brachos that he will have more reasons to express his thanks back to Hashem. Rav Alexander Ziskin of Horodna, the author of the Sod V'Shorash Avoda, lived a life full of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In his ethical will to his family, he wrote, "For I know with complete and genuine faith that whatever happens to a person, be it a small goodness or something painful, all is from Hashem. Everything is through His constant exacting providence at every moment." And that was how he lived life. No matter whether it was something good going on or something that was a rougher situation, he knew that in the background it was all for the good of the person. And this awareness that everything comes from Hashem and that we're truly fortunate to be able to sing Hashem's praises in our tefillah every single day should cause us to recite them joyously. As we know, joy is a crucial component of part of Avodas Hashem. And the Chasam Sofer would tell Bar Mitzvah boys, he would say, "Now you've become an Ish." Ish stands for Ahava, it stands for Yira, and it stands for Simcha. And a mitzvah lacking any of these three components is an incomplete mitzvah. In this mizmar, David HaMelech stresses also the importance of serving Hashem with joy. As the Gemara tells us, one should not rise to daven Shemone Esrei amid sadness. Rather, he should daven after learning a halacha psuka. And the reason is because when one learns and clarifies it to a point that the halacha becomes clear, that joy that he experiences is immeasurable. And it's with this sort of simcha that one should now commence davening. And David alludes to this in this mizmar as the words Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, that we should serve Hashem b'simcha, are preceded by the words of Hariyu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, whose first letters spell out halacha. And therefore one should learn halacha prior to davening, and then he'll be able to Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. So as we go into the mizmar, we say Mizmar l'soda, it's a song of thanksgiving, of gratitude. Hariyu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, as we mentioned, we invite the whole world to participate in our sense of gratitude to Hashem. We do not want to keep our happiness just to ourselves, so we call out, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, boyu l'fana b'rinana. And Rav Moshe Wolfson says the word samach, sin mem ches, meaning he was glad, has the same pronunciation as samach, samach mem chof, which means he relied upon. The word otzav, ayin sadi veiz, he was sad, is similar in pronunciation to the word ozav, ayin zayin veiz, which means he forsook. And he says, one who is full of faith and relies on Hashem in his personal life is a happy person, while one who feels forsaken and lost is a sad, depressed individual. And there are two ways one can serve Hashem, out of joy and happiness or out of habit, as an obligation. And Rav Moshe Wolfson explained, this was the difference in the lives of the Jewish immigrants that came to America. Those who served Hashem with simcha, with emunah, despite all the hardships, raised beautiful generations, faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah. While those who served Hashem in a habit, without the joy, struggled with the nisyonos of Shabbos, had many of their descendants leave. And the same applies to us with our children, especially today now with all the competition that we have. Those of us who bring that simcha into the home, our kids are in a safer position to continue. Those of us who serve Hashem because, you know, it's Shabbos, oh, it's a three-day yontif, whatever the negative comments that we say, whether we mean them or not, but the kids pick up that, you know, it's just, you know, it's not the same thing. So when we don't have that joy and happiness, we, Chas V'Shalom, our children can take it and go the wrong way with it. So we have to serve Hashem, especially today, with that same joy and happiness. As David HaMelech says, you serve Hashem with gladness, come before Him with joyous song. We then continue, say, Du'uki Hashem hu Elokim hu Asanu. We tell the world that we're thankful for the fact that He, with the Midas Rachmim and Midas Din, made us into His nation. V'lo anachnu amo, a similar expression we find in Yeshayo, says, Amzu yitzarti li, I've created this people for me, so that he lost Yisaperu, that they may talk of my praises. And that this means that the purpose of Klal Yisrael as Hashem's nation is to enlighten the world about the existence of Hashem. V'tzon Mariso, David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Mizmol David, Hashem Roi, Lo Echsar, Gam Ki Eilech, V'geit Salmoves, Lo Iroro, Ki Atei Modi. That in our long, difficult Golos, where we faced many bitter enemies, who are bent on annihilating us, Rahman al-Litzlan. However, when we serve Hashem, He takes care of our needs just as a shepherd cares and protects his flock. There are people who come to the Beis Medrash or the Beis Knesses with a feeling that Hashem owes them a debt of gratitude for having interrupted their busy schedules to go daven or learn. And David HaMelech is telling us that the attitude has to be the opposite. When we enter a Malkum Torah or Tefillah, we must do so with that feeling of true gratitude for having been granted another opportunity to study Hashem's Holy Torah or to be able to come close to Him through another chance to daven. And it's the same thing really with each and every mitzvah. The Al-Sheikh explains this pasuk. He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving means that you have to become overcome with thanks to Hashem. Even when we just entered into the gates, meaning that you're just starting to embark on your path of Avodas Hashem, and you have not yet experienced that immense pleasure that you can get through an impassioned tefillah or from learning a blot gemara. But nevertheless, you should be overcome with that gratitude for being given the privilege in order to do so. And if you enter the gates with gratitude, then you'll merit to be able to enter His courts with praise, meaning you'll be able to grow in your Avodas Hashem to a point that you merit true dveikus, a true attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you'll have gone from one who merely stands on the outside by the gates to one who is granted entry into His private court, into the private courts of the King. And when that occurs, you experience Avodas Hashem on an entirely new level. Because you entered, as we said, Besoda, with thanksgiving, but upon entering the courts, you enter with the word Tehillah, which according to the Zohar, and we'll see when we get to Ashrei, is the greatest level of Tefillah. And that's why David HaMelech starts Kapitel Kuf Mem Hei of Ashrei with the word Tehillah, because that is the climax of Tehillim for David HaMelech, and it will see it's the climax of El Psuk de Zimra. Rav Shimon Schwab explains the same pasuk. He says, we invite the whole world to follow us and come through the gates with thankfulness and follow our example and proceed into the courtyard to express Hashem's praises. And only thanks and praises and not complaints are allowed to be brought in. And then we say, Hodu lo Baruch Hu Shemo Kitov Hashem Lolam Chasto, which is similar to the pasuk of Hodu Hashem Kitov, which we find in Tehillim, except that here we're inviting the nations of the world to join us to respond, Ki Lolam Chasto. And then we say, Vadar Vadar Munaso, we tell the world that His faithfulness, His loving kindness will last from generation to generation. And David HaMelech, we said, began this mizmor with gratitude, and he ends it in a similar way, as he says, give thanks to Him, bless His name, for Hashem is good, His kindness endures forever, and generation to generation is His faithfulness. Okay, continuing our story. So now, we're up to next Friday. Bernie receives a second email. This one speaking directly to him. It's from a concerned Malach to Bernie Goldberg, subject, how many stars are in the universe? Bernie Goldberg, why are you not afraid to speak in shul? Is it because you have no sense of awe for the master of universe? Follow this simple exercise and you will soon learn proper reverence. Look out of the shul window at the sun. Try to stare at it. You cannot. If you force yourself, your eyes will be blinded. The sun is 93 million miles away. Yet even at such an enormous distances, mortal man cannot gaze at the sun. Think about the power of the sun and the fact that it was created by Hashem. Later tonight, go outside. Look up at the stars in the heaven. How many stars are in the sky? There are 100 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. Can you picture the magnitude of that number? There is still more. The universe contains approximately 125 billion galaxies, each of which may contain more than 200 billion stars. Who created in one split moment on that fourth day of creation all these celestial bodies? Who continues to maintain them? Hashem. Now human beings are inconsequential specks of dust in the great expanse of time and space. Puny man is but a few square feet of matter. He lives briefly for 60, 70, 80 years and then disappears for eternity into a vacuum of emptiness and non-existence. Yet for all this apparent insignificance, man can outshine all the stars. One manifestation of human prominence is a man's ability to stand in prayer. No other creation, including a Malach, is able to make personal requests to Hashem. What an enormous privilege for man to daven before the master of the universe. Bernie, think about what occurs when you go to daven in shul. The Almighty in His kindness rests His Shekhinah within the walls of the shul and sends hosts of angels to act as special emissaries to escort your tefillos to the seat of His heavenly throne. And what do? You foolishly and irreverently sit back in your seat in shul and discuss with your friends your new designer socks, how long you plan to sleep this afternoon, what brand of tuna you prefer. You chase the angels away in anger Hashem every time you step foot into shul. Are you not ashamed? Bernie brought this email to shul on Shabbos and showed it to his friends. They were not amused. What nerve the rabbi had to give them Musar under this thin, vilely guise of an email from a malach. As a matter of principle, Bernie made certain to talk straight through the entire davening. One person who was deeply moved by this latest email was Chaim Green. He followed the angel's advice and gazed out the window at the bright morning sun. He could not look at the ball of fire. He thought about the billions of stars suspended above and the Hashem who created this magnificent universe. Suddenly, Chaim began to shiver and began to make his way out of the shul. He struggled upstairs to the balcony that overlooked the shul and looked down and said, "This is what Hashem sees," as he looks down from Shemayim. He was stunned. Throughout the shul, people are milling around, engaged in animated conversations, while the Chazan struggled to make his voice heard above all the noise. Chaim imagined that he saw the angels desperately trying to grab the attention of the people. He can hear them beckoning, pleading, but everyone was oblivious. Chaim saw the sunlight dancing on the faces of the people. Perhaps Hashem was shining the sun in their eyes as a flashlight to have them notice his presence, to no avail. Chaim cannot contain himself. He shouted out, "What are you doing? Don't you see the sunlight? Can't you hear the angels? The Shechina, the Malachim, they're in the room with us now." The group of